Welcome to Inside the Match, where Alex and Simone talk residency applications.
We are two residents here to help you navigate the match.
For each podcast, we'll bring you residents from various specialties and backgrounds to give advice.
So today we are super excited to have Dr. Postbos, who's going to talk all about what it's like to juggle multiple responsibilities during residency and some of the important components of what it's like to really focus on your wellness. So thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. Thanks, Simone, for having me today. Such an honor to be here.
So tell me a little bit about your role as someone who specifically focuses on the importance of lifestyle psychiatry within your field.
Of course. So I actually just completed my residency as a chief resident at UCLA Kern. I picked up an interest in lifestyle psychiatry, as well as additional training in perinatal psychiatry and sports psychiatry, which I think ties in very nicely with lifestyle psychiatry. And I'm currently in private practice, trying to incorporate lifestyle changes within regular psychiatric care, which just means that I incorporate techniques like exercise, sleep optimization, nutrition, stress management, and other sustainable lifestyle changes to make sure that the patients, high performers in this case, can optimize and balance their life.
Well, all of those things are so important. And I really want to talk about some of those elements that you referred to as being so important in lifestyle psychiatry. So what are your recommendations to juggle multiple responsibilities? Because as we all know, residency is busy. It's a stressful time. And there's lots of other things that we have to be responsible for outside of work.
Of course, absolutely. So this question actually hits home because I became a first-time mom during residency, during my third year of training in the middle of COVID without any family nearby. So it's literally just my husband and I. And, you know, as you can imagine, there's a lot of juggling involved at that time. So three tips that I think might be helpful in my case, at least, are as follows. First one is the mindset change. So for me, I took some time to just reflect, write it down in a piece of paper, my own why, in terms of why I'm doing this, and my own pros, as well as my own cons. We often use this in CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, in psychiatry. And the reason for that is, as human, we all have ups and downs. So during the downtime, it's very helpful, I found, to reflect back on this decision, this informed decision that I've made. And it just helped propel me forward. The second tip is to prioritize using 20/80 principle. So what it looks like is I jot down all my tasks or responsibilities and then prioritize based on that. So as you probably know, not all works are created equal. So sometimes just focusing on 20% of the work can yield 80% of the result, which is what we often call quote unquote high yield. Based on that, I created I prioritize my responsibilities and go by that. The third tip would be to use Excel spreadsheet and create an hourly time block. So horizontally, I would list down the days, working days that I have available. And vertically, I would list down the hourly blocks. So 7 to 8, 8 to 9, 9 to 10, what have you. And then I will take my responsibilities or tasks that I created earlier, break it down into smaller tasks and just plug in the smaller tasks into the available time slots. And that helps a lot in terms of time management.
Those are fantastic tips. And one thing that I always wonder about when time is limited in residency, what are your recommendations for exercise? Sometimes we have these beautiful Excel spreadsheets that really show how many things we want to do, but it's always hard to figure out where we should prioritize some of those things. So what about exercise? Where should that be on our list?
That's a very good question. So exercise is definitely up there, as we all know, probably. And the important thing to notice for exercise, as well as other lifestyle techniques or lifestyle changes, some is always better than none. So don't beat yourself up if you know you're not literally going to the gym, spend an hour in the gym from Monday to Sunday. Some is always better than none. For me, what's helpful is, first, I like to learn about the CDC recommendations, right? Which in this case is aerobic exercise, which means anything that gets your heart rate up. To what level? To moderate level. So basically, if you're still able to talk, but perhaps not flawlessly sing within your exercise. And duration wise, it's 150 minutes a week, which can be broken down, for example, into 30 minute, half an hour on weekdays. So for me, what it looks like is because some aerobic exercise doesn't require too much of a focus, brain focus, I just bought myself a little stepper in Amazon, a little floor desk, which I put on top of my regular work desk. So that way I can continue to work on my laptop, you know, doing presentations, emails, studying, what have you, while getting my steps in and multitask, quote unquote, in that way.
That's a fantastic idea. And along with exercise, a really important component of your life is your sleep. And so this may be different for those that do have babies, especially during residency, but how do you optimize your quality of sleep, especially in the midst of residency where you might have a new baby, you might work a 24-hour shift, and you might just be purely exhausted from the day-to-day of your work?
Yes, and especially right within residency, we all have those night shifts or 24-hour shifts that keep changing. You know, one day we have to do 24-hour, one day we're back to day shift. It's very challenging for sure. Some common things to avoid, number one is of course caffeine, which can be found not only in coffee but also tea, soda, energy drinks, chocolate, and whatnot. So the recommendation is to avoid caffeine about 12 hours before sleep. So that's typically is before noon, but in relation to 24-hour shift, for example, I personally would just try to avoid coffee or caffeine altogether, if possible, of course. Some days it's not possible. And that way, I think if you happen to be lucky and have some downtime during your shift, you can fall asleep easier. Or as soon as you get home, you can fall asleep quicker as well. The other thing is to avoid these things within 3 hours before sleep, and that includes dinner, especially heavy dinner, alcohol, and exercise, physical exercise. Also, too much of a thinking work could impair your quality of sleep if done too close to bedtime. So what I like to do is to put in some quote-unquote intentional stress time, especially if you have a lot of things on your mind that worries you. I just like to jot it down in a piece of paper 3 hours before bed. And next to it, I'd list just one simple step that you can do tomorrow to address this and store it away. Or even better, just tear it down and toss this piece of paper and worry about it tomorrow. And of course, the good old 1 hour before bed, just avoid a screen altogether because of the blue light interference, right, with our melatonin or sleep hormone. And try to wind down, not just mentally, but physically as well. Perhaps using some relaxation techniques might be useful.
Those are such great tips. And I definitely need to work on the one where you try to avoid the use of blue light and electronics before bed. And so we all know that residency is stressful, and you've talked about how we can prepare ourselves to go to sleep. But in regards to the day-to-day stressors, just in dealing with different sorts of personalities or stressors amongst patients, how would you recommend that we manage all the stress that comes about with being a resident?
Oh my, definitely. It's such a stressful time, right? Being a resident. So I think it's important to address two things first. Number one is stress is not just impairing your mind per se, but it also affects a whole lot of your bodily responses as well because of the cortisol hormone, the downstream effect, and what have you. The second thing is as residents, it's perhaps hard to quote unquote take some time off or even take an hour off if you're in the middle of night shift and you're the only physician in the hospital, right? So I'd like to recommend three portable, meaning setting independent stress management techniques that you can use even in the middle of morning rounds, didactics, and other things like that during residency. The first one is my favorite, deep breathing techniques, which also include belly breathing or diaphragm breathing and counting. So I like to count to six while inhaling, count to six while pausing, and count to six while exhaling, and do this a couple of times. The second thing would be some grounding techniques where I switch my focus into the five physical senses. So to see, to hear, to smell, to taste, and to touch with our skin. So for example, if you're in a room and you see a water bottle, let's say, then I'll observe it, you know, try to observe the bottle, how it looks like, is it half full, half empty, and what have you, and then pick it up just to try to focus on the sensation of the bottle against my skin. Maybe listen to the little crinkle sound it may make. Try to smell it. Hopefully it doesn't smell like anything. And then just drink it and focus on the sensation when you taste it. The third thing would be progressive muscle relaxation, which we use a lot in psychiatry as well. So for this technique or PMR technique, we, let's say we focus from the top of our head, muscle group by muscle group, gradually down all the way down to the bottom of our feet. So let's say we focus on the top of our head first, that muscle group, we intentionally tense it for 10 seconds and then relax it for 20 seconds. And then we go down to the next muscle group, which would be your forehead and then your cheek, your jaw, your shoulder, and so forth. So what these three techniques do is, in addition to lower anxiety, including anticipation anxiety and muscle tension related anxiety, it also works on your parasympathetic responses instead of the sympathetic responses, which would be responsible to lowering your heart rate, lowering your breathing rate, and so forth. It also works on activating part of your brain, the executive function part that enables you to think more clearly instead of focusing on the reptile associated brain area that's associated with the sympathetic response system. Sympathetic nerve system, and in addition, also have several additional mental health, better mental health outcomes like mood and sleep as well.
Well, you have given so many practical tips to be able to help during residency. It's just comforting finding out what you really enjoy and appreciate being around to be able to relieve your stress. And so, you know, day to day, we may have our stressors that occur, but there's also some hurdles in residency that might arise. Can you talk about some of the stressors which you may not be expecting to come across that may happen while you're a resident and some possible solutions to relieve that stress that might not be one that you normally might anticipate?
For sure. So, you know, it's really important, like you said, that even after doing all this by the books, you know, taking care of ourselves, doing everything right, some common issues might still occur. Things like burnout, imposter syndrome, chronic stress, feeling overwhelmed, and what have you. It's very common and it happens to a lot of us. The first thing is to recognize when it escalates, right? So if it, one, causes intense severe distress, or two, interfere in your day-to-day in any way, that could look like your grades, your relationships, your work, for example, then it's time to seek psychiatric help. So you can reach out to your local psychiatrist, or if you're in California, you can contact me as well at Lifestyle Telepsychiatry. The second thing that I'd like to address is, you know, the regular get off, take some time off of work might not work for us in residency, right? Because there might be hurdle of, you know, trying to find call coverage, not getting approved, our vacation time, not meeting the ACGME required hours, and so forth. So what I find helpful is I go back to my own why, my own pros and my own cons. Basically, I reflect back on why I make that informed decision, own it, which is very important, and then quote unquote mindfully perform it. So let's say you're at home, you're very overwhelmed with the amount of tasks you need to do. You have to prepare for grand round presentation tomorrow. Tomorrow you're going to be on call. You have a bajillion things that you have on your plate as well, but you decided to take an hour break and watch an episode of your favorite show. What happens to me before is I watch it, but my mind is not there because I keep thinking about all the things that I need to do, that I need to complete. So by mindfully performing this task, I later on down the road, I try to be more present while watching the show, at least for that 1 hour, and block out all the chatters, all the noises about all my to-do list. And that way I get much more out of it, this 1 hour of relaxing time versus before.
Those are such wonderful ways to be able to focus on spending time on ourselves. And you mentioned the fact that it's really important to seek out help, whether it be a psychiatrist or a therapist or another mental health professional. And within our residency, if we are struggling, especially with work-life balance or fatigue, who are other people that we might be able to reach out to within the program?
Yes. So I think here hierarchy plays a role. So perhaps the first step would be to reach out to your chief. And then the next would be to a trusted mentor or attending. It's probably better if they're in psychiatry because they can direct you to mental health resources perhaps a bit faster. And I'd also like to throw out there that confidentiality might be of concern, right? You probably don't want people within your organization or residency to know more than they should. So typically what a mentor or what an attending or even chief could do is direct you to, if you prefer, to outside resources as well, someone outside of your organization, completely unaffiliated with your organization. Or the other option is to seek out help outside yourself. So two things come to mind. One, now telepsychiatry is very common, which means that you can save time on that commute time, perhaps, you know, eliminate the concern of someone you know seeing you at the psychiatrist's office and just do the session at home, for example. Two, there's also cash pay option, which just means that you pay out of pocket, if applies, of course, if applicable. And that way you could somewhat avoid that that record being permanently tied to your insurance down the road when the time comes to apply for disability insurance or life insurance and what have you. So I do offer both telepsychiatry and cash-based practice, and I'm sure wherever you are locally, you can find similar services as well.
Well, you have provided us so much information in regards to being a resident and working through the stressors and ensuring that we have sleep, and as well as the common hurdles that do occur in the day-to-day life of a resident. Do you have any other tips that you would like to share for residents of any specialty?
Yes. So I'd like to invite you to take a second and imagine if we're in the middle of feeling depressed or feeling anxious, it's so easy to feel alone, feel trapped, hopeless, overwhelmed, like there's no way out. But what if instead you can feel empowered, you can regain control, you can be at peace, you can feel like your best self again. You don't have to go through all this alone. And for just for perspective, Rome wasn't built in a day, right? So you probably you probably wouldn't go from 0 to 100 in terms of achieving the best version of yourself right at the next second immediately. It does take time. Thus, I encourage you today to make even the smallest of changes within your lifestyle. Put in the work day in and day out because it will pay off. Some research said in terms of exercise, for example, just 1 hour of aerobic exercise weekly can protect against depression. And just one session of exercise can decrease anxiety, sensitivity. So it does pay off and it will pay off.
Well, that's all the time we have today with Dr. Post. Thanks so much for joining us at Inside the Match. Special thanks to Kevin McCoy for the music, and be sure to follow or subscribe to our podcast. Catch our next podcast to learn more application tips and hear advice from another awesome resident or leader in medical education.